no one disagrees with anything we can do to make opportunities for mobility more prevalent than they are right now. But the argument was that 48% of executives have never changed positions since joining the SCS. But the problem I've got with that is that in the same report, the average time in the current SCS position is 3.5 years. So with the average time in the SCS is at 6.5 years. So if someone hasn't changed a position in 3.5 years, that doesn't worry me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember in private sector days, my old newspaper, they would fast track people. It's kind of like the SES, and they had you slated for greatness to do good things, and that involved getting experience in different departments, and it makes sense in a way. But what I saw happening all during that time period was that somebody would go into a job knowing it was temporary, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, but they were denying somebody else a chance to get experience at that job, and they were pushing aside somebody who might have been there, been a lifer, and been the best person possible. And I saw that happen again and again.
Well, the fact of the matter is they're really that a senior executive needs both leadership and administrative talents, as well as the technical professional knowledge of the program in question. So it's not surprising that there are some agencies, some programs, some positions where that longtime experience is valuable and necessary.
Got an interesting email from a woman who worked at NASA for many years, and she said, "I don't know what prompted Congress to think SES was a good idea. But at the time they started, there was a popular management theory that taught that good managers should be able to get good results no matter what business they were managing." And she pointed out some examples of companies buying other companies. They had nothing in common. They knew nothing about mm-hmm. them. And they were disasters.
Well, and that's why I think it's that having everyone mobile is never going to be the absolute norm. So what you want to do is promote some professional revitalization, enable people who want to be mobile to do it. And we don't have the mechanisms in place to enable that to happen. We don't have it at the SES level, and we don't have it at the place just below the SES, that is to say those who are aspiring to the SES. There's nothing in place that helps them to move around if they want to do it.
Well, I could see, too, and several people who emailed us made this point, that if you get an agency, the one most commonly cited was NASA, but you can get any agency with a scientific mission, NIH, the various places like that, where oftentimes the SES people came up from the ranks, so they know the agency. But the work is unique, and it's not the kind of thing that's necessarily transferable. Management skills aside, the expertise in running it is not necessarily transferable.
Well, that's right. And it kind of reminds me, I spent a year in electrical engineering school once upon a time, and we had to take a class in foundry, and we had to work in metal machining. And the idea was, you're going to run an operation like this one day that's going to involve some of this. You better know how it's done. And I think that that's really what we're saying in some of these agencies. Some executives, some kinds of functions and positions are more amenable to this than others. And I think the real issue is that if you're going to undertake a mobility program, you want it to be something that's handled in a way that benefits both the agency and the executive, and that's managed intelligently.
Well, in the 1970s, Dr. Lawrence Peter, and I forget the name of the other fellow, but they co-authored a book, and it was called The Peter Principle. And I got a chance to meet him, and I believe he was the father-in-law of Senator Boren of Oklahoma, but very prominent family, very smart fellow. And they did this sort of tongue-in-cheek book that was witty, but also it had a point. And the idea was, I remember it maybe, the idea was you eventually get promoted to your level of incompetence, and then you don't get promoted anymore. You know, and as somebody who's been doing the same job for 10 years, that worries me a little bit. But, there's some truth to that, isn't it?
Well, these days, though, I look at how these positions have changed. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I just don't think that there was the level of intensity, the kinds of challenges there are today. Just looking at the performance management system alone, the kinds of standards these executives are being held to, it's a much tougher job, and I don't think it's a matter of being on automatic pilot, no matter how long you've been there.
Well, the thing that I've noticed that changed over the years is a lot of it is technological, too, with BlackBerries and smartphones and that kind of thing. A lot of people, but government executives, probably almost all of them, are on call 24/7.
They are. And I look at emails that have been sent to me at 5 a.m. It's why, as I've said to you a number of times, that a lot of GS-14s and 15s who'd make terrific executives look at this, and that's one of the issues that concerns them, among others. And they say, that's just not for me. I want a life.